This time, we will notice in our baton. Is you ready? Oh, okay, come on.
Good morning. This morning scripture will be coming from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 29 through 31. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 29 through 31, and it reads, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." That was Proverbs chapter 31, verses 29 through 31. Thank you.
25. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. May be seated. I'm going to say good morning to the congregation. It's good that we found our way through the rain and we've starting to trickle in as we worship God in spirit and truth on this day. What a wonderful day it is. Know that God is our God and we are his people. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all those who are mothers and all those who have been a mother to someone from one time in their lives or not. All of us have tended to someone else's child before in our lives as well. So happy Mother's Day to all mothers on this day. And I want you to know that when it comes to a mother, it really is something that's special. And I don't think that people look at it in the perspective that it should be looked in. I want you to understand the picture of God. The picture of God to me is that God put Adam to sleep, and God took a rib from Adam's side, and he made the woman. After the woman was made, you find that all of life now does not come from Adam, but all life comes from the woman. Comes from the woman. And for whatever reason, you find that mothers love and respect their children more than you can ever think or imagine, because the child comes from the mother. But I'm so confused as to why the man doesn't respect the woman, because the woman comes from the, amen? Comes from the man. Listen to me. God took a rib from Adam and made the woman. And from that point on, all life comes from the woman. She should be respected. She should be respected by the husband as well as by the children. Happy Mother's Day to you. What a marvelous verse of scripture this is. The last verse of Proverbs is verse 31, chapter 31. It says, "Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Verse number 28 says these words, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." And I heard one mother commenting on this particular scripture, that her children rise up and call her blessed. She says, "My children just rise up and call me all the time." So mothers should be honored because of what they've given and to the extent to which they've given themselves as well. You know, a woman who denied herself everything possible in order to send her son to college, it's not a story that we never heard before. But when graduation came, she tried to excuse herself from attending the ceremonies because she didn't have the proper clothing to wear. And she was afraid that he would be ashamed of her. She didn't want to embarrass her son, but the son insisted that she attend, and he escorted her to the very front row of the auditorium where the graduation was taking place. To her surprise, he was announced as the valedictorian of his class and received all kind of honors. And when the prize was given to him, he immediately went down from the platform and before the entire audience had his mom to stand up in her shabby clothing, and he handed her the prize that he had received, letting her know that it's because of her that he could realize this in his life. He said if it wasn't for his mother, this moment would have never been made possible in his life. Mothers, as I alluded to earlier, they give life. They give life. And there's a sense in which a mother sacrifices her life for her children all the time. I wonder if you ever stopped to think to what degree your mother must have gone through for you to have your life. I mean, after all, some mothers die in childbirth, and some children never ever get to know who their mothers are. Have you ever stopped to think about that commitment of a mother? There's a sense in my mind that all mothers have come near death for their child, and they will die for their children. There's some famous people who have said some phrases about their mothers. One is that the babe that smiles in your arms and finds its support and its refuge in your bosom, that baby receives its first impression from you, from no one else but you. Babies recognize that a relation exists between you and them immediately, well before the idea of a father is even formed. It's you who the baby has a relationship with. Your countenance is the first volume that your child reads on your face every day. And all articulations come from you to that child. And your language is the first language that baby understands. Your language. It's an honor, it's a special privilege to be a mother, to understand these little small things that we so much take for granted. Because you occupy a place which can never be rivaled. It's the laws of nature, it's the laws of God, you see. It's a written word ordained that you are the most well-equipped person to teach that child the gospel, because that child will listen to you more than anything else. You can get their attention. You can narrate to them the nativity of life and the life that they're going to live and the words and deeds of our God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can open up a child's mind because you're their mother to how the Savior died for their sins and how he rose for our justification. What a privilege it is that has been stored upon you as a mother. And as you put aside all those trials and all those heartaches, as you put aside all the difficulties and all the times you've forgotten, all the ingratitude that comes from the children, as you put aside all the disappointments that have come your way, you are still, by the grace of God, blessed to share one of the greatest callings that God has ever offered to man, and that call is the call of a mother. To be someone's mother to someone else, even if you don't have your own children, you've been there. And what a great and wonderful blessing God has bestowed upon you that you can actually do that. Yep, it is. It's today. Today is Mother's Day. It's been set aside, and rightly so, for the special recognition of motherhood and all the precious things that motherhood entails. Well, just this morning, I called my mother, and I tell you, you can never, ever get enough of her laughing. She answers the phone laughing. She hangs up the phone laughing. She laughs all through the conversation. It's something that you can just, it's something about your own mother that you know that's special to you. Precious things. And all children of all ages should reflect on the deep love shown to them by their mothers. Because the love children have for their mother will be returned in various ways on this day. Some are going to call on the phone. Some are going to send flowers, cards, dinners. Gifts of all kinds are going to be made. But it's just a small way to show how much a mother's love is appreciated and not taken for granted. A mother's love, has been stated, is the greatest love for her child known to the human race. And it's unique. And I can understand that, because when you look at 1 Kings chapter 3, you find at the beginning of that chapter that Solomon had just asked God for wisdom, and he didn't ask him for all those material things. And God blessed him with wisdom and all those material things anyway. And just as soon as God has blessed him with those things, here comes a test from God. I want you to understand that when God gives us things, when he equips us with things, he expects us to use the things that he has given us to his glory, to his honor. But a lot of people take those things and use them selfishly. But if you look at 1 Kings chapter 3, you're going to find that, immediately he gets a test of his wisdom because two mothers come to him. Never mind, it says that they are two harlots. The story is told that, they each are living together in the same house, and each have babies, and they go to sleep. And one mother falls asleep on top of her baby, and the baby smothers. And she wakes up and takes the live baby and puts the dead baby to the other mother. So when the mother wakes up in the morning to feed her baby, she finds that her baby in her bosom is dead. But the other mother has the live child, so they appear in front of Solomon with that case. One mother says, "This is my child." The one that's dead is hers. And the other one says, "This is my child." The one that's dead is hers. The wisdom of God is so wonderful. It's unlike the wisdom of man, because how would we have resolved that case? We might have needed witnesses. We might have needed further evidence. In today's, we would have just got DNA and been done. But there was no DNA back then. We're talking about the wisdom of God in all of our lives. So Solomon says, "I need you to bring me a sword." And he brought him a sword. And his command was to just cut that baby in half. Mothers will die for their children, won't they? He says, "Cut that baby in half." And the mother says, "No, don't let the baby live. Just give him to her." In the wisdom of God, Solomon can see that the one that spoke up was the real mother of the child. Mothers go to the war for their children. They'd much rather see them in harm's way than to see them die. They'd much rather see them in a situation where they can fight another day than they have their lives taken away from them. Let me tell you something. If you ever find yourself in a situation where there's an animal that has children following behind her, and you try to, even a duck with a little children walking behind her will attack you because you're threatening her children. That's the way mothers is. Mother and her love is the greatest love that you can ever think about in this lifetime as a human. But I want you to know that it's not the greatest love of all time, because unquestionably the love of God and the love he demonstrated for the lost world is the greatest love that man could ever come to know, because his son died for the hope of our salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." I want you to know the differences between a mother's love and God's love this morning. Both are unmatched in their own way. It's love that's unparalleled in our own hearts and minds. You know, mothers sometimes dismiss their children's sins in their lives. Too many times mothers enable their children. Every mother is not a good mother. Amen. Some mothers are excellent and some are substandard, and mothers, some are just, you just have children and that's just it. And what a shame that is. But no one is as tolerant and patient as a mother. But sometimes it's to her own detriment, because in her tolerance, she condones sometimes her children's sins. But God, he doesn't do that in his reaction. If sin could be glossed over and dismissed, God didn't do that. He didn't do it. This world would have been spared the horrendous grief and sending Jesus down a cruel cross if God would have just said, "You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just let you do your own thing." God is the giver of the greatest love that we've ever had in our lives. He knew the greatest sacrifice was called for to confront and conquer the greatest sin in our lives. And only the greatest love from God could meet that crucial need. Sometimes mothers have to find themselves in situations where they know to do the greater good, but they just, for whatever reason, can't seem to do the greater good because they enable their children. Some people might call that spoiled, but there's a big difference from spoiling your children and letting your children do whatever they want to do while you just turn a deaf ear to it. It's a big difference. That's not the love of a mother. Mothers sometimes, they sin themselves, because we all sin and fall short of God's glory. It seems a bit harsh and unnatural for anyone who has a good mother to just admit it. I would that we should all admit it with our mouths and admit it with our lives as well. A lot of people might say that, you know what, yeah, I got a good mother, but how you treating her? How you treating her? You got to understand that she is just as frail and fragile as you, and we all sin and fall short of God's glory. The very best of us, mothers included, have all committed sin. And sin is anything but an act of love towards God. It's not an act of love towards anyone else either. It's an assault on God. I want you to know there are good mothers out there, and even good mothers sin and fall short of God's glory. And that's why Jesus died. He died that he might save mothers, so that mothers can not only save themselves, but the children that hear them as well. He died to save them. He reached out with the greatest love that he can ever give us. And he gave us life. He gave us life. And even though a mother's love is great, a mother's love is not great enough to save our souls. A mother's love is great enough, though, to guide us to the one that can save our very souls, to guide us to the Christ. Because it's with that mother that that child spends the first moments of his life, not even knowing the possibility of a father. And that mother can guide that child to understand sin and sin in their lives and how to battle that sin. And that mother can guide that child to the Christ and to God's word. Simply reading to your child is a wonderful thing. Mothers even today realize that if you read to your child while they're in the womb, they even respond to that. When we pick up the Bible and we read to our children, it speaks tremendous volumes to who we are and who we expect our children to be. Because we all want to go to heaven and we want our children to go as well, so pick it up and read it. And don't allow sin to be dominant in your life as a mother. Mothers sacrifice a whole lot, don't they? Mothers have walked through fire to save their children. I know some situations where that's happened. And any good mother would gladly die in order to save her children. But God sent his only son to die for all people, including mothers. But when they are unlovable, like sometimes our children are unlovable, as mothers and fathers, sometimes we just don't like our children. But God loves us, even when we are unlovable as well. He loved us and he died for us. And he did it so that he might preserve us and allow us to have eternal life, away from the unquenchable fire that awaits all those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He preserves us from an unquenchable fire from all those as children who obey not their parents in the Lord. He preserves us from all the heartache and pain of not listening to the advice of a mother. And we find out later on in our lives that we regret those things that we should have gotten from our mothers early on in life. We find ourselves calling and says, you know what, I should have listened to what you said to me way back when. We can't change it, but we grow and we understand as adults what mothers go through and who they are. And sometimes who we have become as a result of a mother being a good mother or a not so good mother. We're all products of that. Some people are credits to their mothers, and some people, well, they just are not. They're not. I got to tell you, it's that time of the year again. One day in 365 days, when we look around and we observe our mothers, we look around and we appreciate our mothers. We look around and we see our mothers for who they are. And why not? I think all mothers deserve a day in their honor. As a matter of fact, they deserve every day to be honored, because God says we shall honor our fathers and our mothers. He didn't say just do it on one day. Honor them. Honor them. Because they deserve it. We live in a mixed up world. A lot of people probably think that there's nothing so special about Mother's Day. And there might not be anything special about Mother's Day at all, but there's something special about a mother. Some people might not think there's something special about a Lord's Day when God asks us to come together to worship him in spirit and truth. There might not be anything special about the Lord's Day, but there's something special about the Lord. And all living beings, every last one of you, every last one of us, we owe earthly existence to our mothers. Christ was born of a woman. Born of a woman. He came down from heaven in all his glory to be born of a woman. And what a woman she was. What an impact she had on the life of Jesus Christ. Our mothers have an impact on our lives as well, and hopefully the impact that they had on our lives is an impact that allows us to never waver from the faith that she instilled in us. Never waver from the confidence that she has given us. A mother's love knows no bounds, and her love is never wavering either. Her love never wanes. It never goes away. It never decreases. As a matter of fact, it increases so much, you just can't even fathom the love that a mother has for her children. You know, I know that little girls simply don't want to hear that, but the truth of the matter is that 80% of 11 to 18-year-old girls, they desire to be just like their mothers. Some girls say, I don't want to be like my mom. They can't see that when they're young. They just can't see it. And as they grow older, they see themselves as their mothers. They become their mother. What an incredible, incredible journey it is to understand that. What that suggests to me is that mother has played a very strong role in that child's life. And it's an honor and a pleasure for a child to want to be just like their mothers. And we talk about good mothers, because there's some children who like their mothers, and their mothers are just, they're not good mothers. They're just not. Some of it is circumstantial. Some of it is just blatant. Some of it is just total neglect. But nevertheless, the influence of a mother is a powerful influence in our lives. Paul told Timothy about that in 2 Timothy 1:5 about his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he says, I know that power from God still dwells in you, Timothy. I know that we can take a look back in our lives, whether our mother is with us now or whether she's not with us now. And we can look back and see the influence that mothers have had in our lives, and we can appreciate who they are if we're sincere about it. I can appreciate who my mother is and was in my life way back when. And I can appreciate the fact that even though sometimes it wasn't in my best interest to cross her, and sometimes crossing our mothers teach us lessons that are going to go with us to the grave. And some of those whelps we have on us are going to go to the grave as well. I feel like I still have some of those. A mother's influence is so powerful, yet so wonderful, that she should be able to teach us spiritual things in our lives and have us to understand those spiritual things and want to be a child of God just as our mothers ought to be or should be. You know, Timothy's faith was deeply influenced by his mother Lois, and that's just the way that it ought to be for us as well. More than anything else, we know what it is that our mothers have done for us, and we have some things that we could say about our mothers as well, and some things we dare not say. Because I grew up in a time when mothers didn't talk about a whole lot of things sometimes, even to their daughters. And as their daughters grew up, they were ashamed to talk to them about even things that they would go through in puberty. They just wouldn't do it. They thought it was taboo, but I'm so glad that as we have grown and educated ourselves, that mothers and daughters have better relationships. They have better conversations. Because in those conversations, relationships, we can find ourselves talking about God with our mothers. Talking about God in ways that we never could talk about God when we were younger. Because we have grown and we better understand who God is in our lives and who our mother is as well, and how she instilled it in our lives. Think about that fact. If you've never ever talked to your mother about God, what are you waiting for? And if your mother has never ever talked to you about God, what are you waiting for? And if you've never talked to your children about God, what are you waiting for? And if your children have never talked to you about God and the role that he plays in our lives, what are you waiting for? Napoleon said that the future destiny of a child is always the work of his mother. Always, always. Roosevelt, your mother is more important by far than any successful statesman is ever going to be, than any businessman, artist, or scientist. The Talmud says, who is best taught? He that is taught by his mother. Sometimes our mother aggravates us so bad sometimes because we just don't understand her position until we grow a little bit more in our lives and understand who she is and what she was all about. And that she didn't mean any harm, but she was just trying to do us well, but we could not understand that. And we have problems. But Emerson said, the hand that rocks the cradle, right? It rules the world. It rules the world. All that I am, Abraham Lincoln said, and all that I can be, I owe it to my mother. I owe it to my mother. God made mothers. And he made mothers for the express purpose that all the children of mothers can be called to God through her powerful influence. We're talking about godly mothers. Mothers who take responsibility for their children. Mothers whose influence is so powerful they recognize that and they don't abuse it. The more we learn about life, the more we understand the importance of mothers. Mothers are people that should encourage us in all things. I mean, who in here can remember their mother telling them, go ahead, you can do it. You can do it. Not only can you do it, mothers expect us to do the right thing, even when we, in our mischievous ways, don't want to do the right thing. They expect us to do the right thing, and they're disappointed when we don't. I mean, remember just last year when there was rioting over in Baltimore, Maryland, and this single mother went out there and told her son, you better get yourself off the street. He had his pants hanging. He had his signs up, head all wrapped up. He was ready to fight. She went out there and she got her son in front of everybody else and from the whole world and says, you come yourself home right now. That's wonderful and admirable. And we should all want to do that for our children when they get themselves in situations that they just don't know that they're in. They don't understand it, and they think they understand it. Mothers have been there and done that. Mothers have been rebels as well. Just because you got a tattoo don't mean that your mom don't have none. Just because you wear your hair long don't mean that your mom didn't do it. There are a lot of things in this world that your mother has been through that you simply will never know because she'll never tell you. But she can advise you and put you on the right road because they expect you to do the right thing. We need good examples from mothers, not just from women who are mothers. We need good examples from those who would be a mother to a child. Mothers give us independence and self-confidence, and they should. They should. Good mothers help as much as needed in our lives. Some people say, and I used to say the same thing myself, I can't wait till my children get 18, they're getting out of here. But you grow up and you understand that they're still your children, whether they're 88 or 89, and you're still living, and they're your children. And you help them, and you just can't put them out on the streets. They're not ready. My uncles, bless their hearts, they stayed with my grandmother till they were in their 50s. Wasn't ready. She was enabling them boys. They should have went out and took care of those women in their lives, but they came home every night to their mothers. They weren't married to their mother. That was egregious. And I'm telling every son in here, don't be a mama's boy. Be a man. Be a man. Take care of the mother that you have and take care of the mother of your children. Because if you don't respect your wife as your children's mother, you don't respect yourself, and you can't serve God in spirit and truth. As a matter of fact, Peter said that if you don't respect your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered. That's what Peter says. He says you can't even pray to God if you don't do that. There are too many men who simply want women to be like Sealy. They want maids. They don't want no mothers for their children. God made mothers. God didn't make any maids. That's a job we took on. Amen. Proverbs says we ought to honor them because she rises up early in the morning and her children call her blessed. And some mothers say they just call her. And that's all right. But mothers, good mothers, expect their children, especially their male children, to stand up on their own two feet. And any mother that enables a boy to not be a man in his own household ought to be ashamed of herself because he's not married to you. Let that boy take care of his house. He ain't in yours anymore. You've had your day. Allow your daughter-in-law to have her day. To be the woman that God has called her to be. To raise her children in the admiration, the admonition of the Lord, without her husband battering her about every little thing. Because really, fathers don't know what mothers go through. They don't. You don't. You think you do, but you're not there. You're not there. Mothers give children emotional stability, and they should. Because we struggle in so many ways in our lives. And for so many of our mothers, they ought to be a pattern of emotional stability. And they can't have emotional stability in their homes if the head of the house, the man, doesn't give them that emotional stability. If every time he comes home, he's running roughshod over the mother in front of the children, and you're fussing in front of the children, and you're cursing your wife out in front of the children, how's the boy going to, how's he going to do when he grows up? It's a wonderful influence. It's a wonderful influence. I want you to know that mothers never ever have any rest. They don't. They don't have a, they never rest. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says these words, and sometimes I think about my mother as well when I read this. But I know what the context is, but I still think about my mother. He says, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. This is a Mother's Day message for all those mothers. Let me tell you, I'm giving you permission. Just go lay down. Just, amen? Just rest for a few minutes. Just go lay down. This message is for mothers who don't have nannies, for mothers who don't have babysitters or housekeepers. This message is for mothers who don't have cleaning ladies. This is a message for all mothers who don't have help. Go get you some rest. It's a message for mothers who are driving those used cars that are not maintained well by the husband. It's for mothers who are pushing strollers onto the bus, carrying groceries around her neck even to get home. Is the message for mothers who use our sick days when the kids are home sick from school. It's a message for mothers whose jobs force them to get their neighbor to keep their children while they come to work because their children are sick as well. It's for mothers who are asked the question, well, don't the children have a father at home? Why you got to be there with the children? It's a message for single mothers as well as mothers that have husbands. It's a message in recognition of all the meals that are cooked and lunches that are packed and all the groceries that have been put away. It's a message for all those diapers that have been changed and Band-Aids put on and combing hair and folding clothes. It's a message for every load of laundry that you carried up those stairs to that washing machine. For every load of clothes that you carried from the laundromat, it's a message for all those mothers that still pay the bills. It's a message for all those mothers who the principal calls, and they never call the father, they call the mother all the time. It's a message for all those mothers all those midnight trips to the emergency room with their children. It's a message for all those mothers who, despite what any father might think, who's not taking care of his household correctly, it's a message for all those mothers who are taking care of her children and holding her house together. That's who it's for. Because God has called you for that. It's egregious for men to stand in front of God and disrespect the mother of their children. I'm just telling you that. Whether you want to hear it or not, it's God's message to us. If we are the head of our households, we are going to love our children's mother. Look at Proverbs 31. And her husbands respect her. That might be a tall order for some because they don't respect themselves, so they can't respect their children's mother. If you're going to be a child of God, you're going to respect your wife, your children's mother, because God has made her in the role that she's in. And she carries it out well. And sometimes with no complaint at all, sometimes she doesn't say a word. And all she gets is one stinky day of the year, to be honest. I'm just saying, if we're going to serve God, we're going to respect people regardless of who they are, but especially our mothers. Let me say it to you again, because I want you to understand this. God put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib from Adam's side, and he made the woman. And ever since that, life has been coming from the woman, not the man. All life comes from the woman now. Adam had one episode of it only. Some women have 10 children. Can you imagine? And you ask a man, can you have children? Well, God didn't ordain it that way, but if he did, I wouldn't be in that line. Not me. I'm just telling you. Mothers ought to be honored for that. They ought to be honored. They carry a lot of burdens, a lot of burdens. And since you're carrying all those burdens, I just wanted to not really preach a sermon to you today, but just recognize all the burdens that you're carrying and tell you to sit down, or better yet, lie down and just get you some rest. Get some rest. Jesus won't mind if you even fall asleep, because I know you're tired. Take yourself a brief nap. But mothers never have a day off, do they? Never. Jesus is saying he knows that you're tired. He knows that you cry sometimes. But in all those things, you know what else Jesus knows? He knows that he's given a woman strength. And her strength comes from God. Comes from God. And she's not ashamed to find herself being praised at the city gate. Honor her for all that her hands have done. Many women do noble things, Proverbs 29, but you surpass them all. Let's influence our children. Let's influence them in right and in righteousness, and let's influence them by God's will and his word. Study God's word. Teach it to your children. Be an influence of good, an influence of honor. Be the mother that God expects you to be, so that the children might be a credit to you and a Christian one day, serving God in spirit and truth just as you are. Mothers go through a whole lot of things, and fathers don't need to put them through anything else. So I'm saying to you, just as Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Mothers are special. They are precious. And I'm grateful for my mother, and I'm grateful for all those out there who are mothers and those who are expected to be mothers, and all those who have been mothers to somebody. It's a serious matter. Some I think we just take for granted. It's so taken for granted that this world has told us that the more children we had, the more money we're going to get. Whatever that means. God doesn't treat us that way, does he? You know, in Luke, Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he weeped for Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. He says, you know, I love you. Now, I would have wanted you to do everything that was right. He says, but you just wouldn't have it to be that way. We can't allow our mothers to regret our lives because our lives are what we make of them. If we are influenced by our mother, that's a godly mother, our lives will be what God has called them to be. And they can be. And you can live a life like that. You're never going to be your mother. You're going to always be who you are. But we can be Christians just like our mothers are Christians and good examples of what a Christian woman ought to be. There are a lot of them in the audience today. Young women need to take advantage of that. Older women need to take advantage of that as well. If they hadn't learned to be a mother as well, there might even be some younger mothers can teach them some things. They might not think so. But just because you're an older mother doesn't mean that you've learned everything you need to be a good one. God's word is good. It's good for all of us. And he calls us to salvation. He asks us that if we don't have any mothers, God will be a mother to us. But we have to accept his salvation on his terms. We have to hear God's word and believe that Jesus is the Christ. We have to confess our sins before men and even to ourselves because we have been wrong all of our lives, thinking that we're serving God and only serving ourselves. We got to repent of our sins. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins because in the water grave of baptism is where all of our sins are washed away. We become whole. We become a new man. And God makes us whole. And he purges us and cleanses us. Not only does he purge and cleanse us, but it's the act of a good conscience towards God. And all of us that have a good conscience are going to have good consciences as we approach our mothers on this day and every other day to let them know how much we appreciate them and love them because God has given them to us. If we can help you today to understand that in your life, won't you come and stand and sing God's invitation song?
Number 70.